So Sister Maxine, for several services, has been telling us different descriptions of what it's going to be like when the Lord has His day. You know, it's like the world is in control right now. Laws are being passed without any thought of what God thinks about it. But the time is coming when the Lord's going to have His day, and all of that will be brought into judgment. But before I start this evening, Sister Maxine mentioned this morning about a scene that will happen on the Lord's day when He's going to bring it all into judgment. And she said there's going to be some books that are going to be open. There was only one that was described, and it was the Book of Life. So I thought, I wonder why would they say books, and then they only describe one? You remember another place in the Bible where there's a book that God has? I'd like to look at it before we start with the message tonight. It's in Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. Now let's look at this. What if this book were one of those that I'm going to be judged out of on that day? This book of His remembrance for those that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. So it just had me to thinking about it after I was thinking about the books that she had mentioned. How much do I think about the Lord? You know, in a day's time, my thoughts run, and it doesn't just stop when I go to sleep. I'll wake up during the night thinking about things. How easy do my thoughts go to the Lord? Not just, am I doing right, am I doing wrong, but remember the verse in Psalms 119, maybe 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Just Scripture be able to come back to my mind and I meditate. We think about the verses that talk about us meditating upon the Lord. If I were going to be judged at the end by how much I have thought upon the Lord, would it be in my favor or would it not? The world has a pull for what I think about. But you know what the Scripture says, that I need to bring into captivity my thoughts. Not so much that they're sinful, but they're just a waste of time sometimes. I can think about what might happen in a few years should America continue the way it's going. Or I can think about the promises that God gave that no matter what happens, no matter how much sin abounds, grace will always much more abound. Yes. Well, if all of my thoughts are in His book of remembrance, I'd like at the end of it for Him to be able to open that book and say, wow, there's a lot of pages where you spent. And you know what? We will not be saved on any of our works. I can bring into captivity my thoughts and think on God every day. In fact, I was reading Pilgrim's Progress, and I don't remember for sure the name of the man, but it was saying that he jumped over the wall and continued along with them. And so they told him, they said, you're going to have to give in a certificate at the end of this thing. Do you have a certificate? You got to go to the beginning to get it. He said, no, I don't have it. They said, well, what is your hope of being able to make heaven? You know, the very thing that we heard this morning. What is my hope of being able to make heaven? They asked him that, and they said, you know, he said, you know, I spend a lot of time thinking about heaven. My thoughts are on heaven. I think about it. So I think I'm going, you know, it's like that's enough for me to be able to go there. And it took more than that to be able to go there. So I want to realize, you know what, it is going to take, I won't go to heaven just on my works. But as a result of His blood being applied to me, there's going to be some things happening in my life. And one of those is, where do my thoughts go? And I would like even this next week to think about that. Lord, I'd like to stack up a few more pages over there in that book of remembrance, because I do fear Your name and I do think upon You. And that's why it's valuable, I think, on the times we come together, that we encourage each other. What the Lord, prayer meeting night, what the Lord has done for us through the week, and it helps everybody else to think upon His name. So I want to have that practiced in my own life. So after all these messages that we've heard, the day of the Lord is coming, I'm going to meet him one day, and now we get back to living life. He hasn't come yet. And you know, when Peter, in 2 Peter, it said, is coming, but he also reminded us a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So where I am now is, I need to be ready. And I was thinking of some other folks that made the decision, they want to make heaven their home. And I was looking at some of the songs in our songbook. Song number 149, it had a verse in there that says, "Roll on, ye changing seasons, or turbulent seas of sin. I've found a blessed shelter and glorious peace within." And you would think, you know what? If I've got that, I'm heaven bound. I'll make heaven my home. There was another song written, song number 61. A determination this man had. "I'll live for Christ through this dark world, and faithful I will be. The joy I know that keeps my soul, it's going to last eternally." And that was D.O. Teasley. And I wonder, is there anything that I could glean warnings for myself? "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The devil has a plan for us. I don't have to be fearful of that. I just need to draw real, real close to the Lord. Because I remember Sister Maxine has said this before, that the Lord reminded her, "You can be lost." Yes. And then I heard Brother Marty say the same thing. The Lord coming to him and saying, "You can be lost." And then I heard Brother Marty telling us that years ago, Brother Sammons, when he was with him, and Brother Marty had a high regard for him and the work that he had done for the Lord. And he said Brother Sammons was just sitting there quietly one day, and then he just out of the blue said, "It'd be a terrible thing after all these years, yeah, and I end up lost." So it's not that we fear it, but we realize, you know what, in my own, I'm not going to be able to make it. I don't know how much time is between me and the Lord's day, this Lord's day, where he's in control. We're not talking about next Sunday. We're talking about the day when the Lord takes charge of everything and brings it into account. So I was thinking of the verse in Matthew 25, where it started out, "The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. There are some parables that told about it mixed the world along with the godly and some separations that would be coming. But this one says, "The kingdom of heaven should be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom." Had an expectation, he's coming. Yes. And that's where we are tonight. We have been reminded again for several weeks, he's coming, his day is going to be here. And so we prepare for that. And you know, it'd be real easy after those weeks that I've been hearing this to really get stirred and say, I want to make sure everything is clear between me and him. These folks were all ready. If he would have come in the first verse, 10 of them would have been ready. The reason I say that, and you know, something I've been very concerned about for myself is to never put in the scripture what it does not say itself. Don't add my own thoughts to it, because the Lord has told me before, I'll stand behind my word. You're going to have to stand behind yours. So I want to be real careful, but I look at this verse, and what makes me realize that there were 10 ready is that on down in later verses, it says the foolish in the 8th verse said, "Give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out." So all 10 of them had a lamp that was burning at one time. But what happened was time kept passing. And you know what? This chapter, this parable right here is where we are today. I know it's coming. We've been reminded that it's coming. And I'm prepared today. But I have some days out ahead for me. Yes. You know, I wondered, how could D.O. Teasley, after all these songs, and we had that one about eternity, song number 409, what could ever happen? Did it happen in a moment? Did he let up on his prayer life? Did he feel like, you know what, The Lord's been blessing me so much with those songs and everything. I'm walking so close to Him that somehow He let up. Something caused Him to fall. And worse than that, something caused Him to never return. It's one thing to fall, but it's another thing to say, Lord, I am sorry. I will crawl back to You. I am sorry for what I... He could have been restored to the Lord. That's all that matters. It does not matter if they say, well, okay, we'll not print your songs. You'll not preach again. None of that matters if we have a picture of eternity and me making heaven my home. Restoration is all that matters. And I thought of Solomon. A man that walked so close to God that He visited him in dreams like we've never had before. And he walked so close to Him and then ended his life the way he did. Is it a warning to me that it doesn't matter how close I'm walking to the Lord today? I've got to maintain it. I have got to make heaven my home. Because there's a verse that says, my soul is continually in my hand. The destiny of it today, the destiny by choices I will make tomorrow of where it's headed. And on this 25th chapter, at midnight, the time when I least expected it, the cry came. And they didn't have the oil that was needed. I want it to be something that stirs my heart. Because you know what? We're in a religious world today that says everybody's going to heaven. There is not a restriction of who makes heaven your home. If you take 5 minutes and make a decision for Christ, what you do afterwards, Christ's blood atones for, and you will make heaven your home. I was thinking of a verse that I need to keep in my mind. It's in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It's not going to be enough for me to just say I'm a Christian, to say, Lord, Lord, I've got to be doing His will. You know, I was reading over in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, how much the Lord says, I have no desire that the wicked would perish, but that he would turn. And he said also in Ezekiel 18 and 24, in the day that the righteous man sins, all of the righteousness that he's committed will not be mentioned. It's like you have just erased everything that you have done that would have been a credit to you making heaven your home. And it starts over again if you repent of what you failed for. So I was looking at these. What do they have to do for us today after we have heard what we have? And I'd like to look in Matthew 24. And 42. Watch therefore. Here's where we are living today. After all those messages that it's coming, a reminder for us. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Yes. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If the goodman of the house would have known. We heard today that through these past few weeks it's coming, but we don't know what day it's going to be. And then when Jesus himself said, no man knows the Son, I don't even know myself what it's going to be. It's the Father only that knows what day it's going to be. So when people say, I know the day that the world is coming to an end, we can almost be assured it won't be that day, because Jesus is telling us the Father only is the one that knows it. But if the goodman of the house had known, if I could have known when it was, I would be ready. And it made me think about the command that came to Moses in the 12th chapter of Exodus. It was a command from God to Moses for the children of Israel. And there had been several plagues that God had performed on Egypt. And he says, I've got one more coming. Many of those plagues had nothing to do with the children of Israel. It was only happening over in Egypt. But this one, he said, you're going to have something you're going to have to do also, or you will be caught in this plague. And it says, on this certain day, you take a lamb and you slay it. And I want you to put that blood on the doorpost of your house. And on down in that 12th chapter, it said, and after you do that, do not go out of your house that night. Stay inside. Yes. Your protection is that blood on the doorpost. Stay behind that blood. And it said all of the children of Israel did that commandment. You know, it would have been so easy for them to say, wait a minute, I've just built a new house. We just had a plague with flies just a few days ago. I do not want to do that. But it said everyone obeyed the voice. And that night when the Lord came by checking the front of each house, and those that did not have the blood over in Egypt, out of every house, the oldest died. And I look at that and I compare it to what we've just heard these last few days, these last few messages about the coming of the Lord. You know what? If I knew it's going to be on the 14th day of a month, I'd be ready. Yes. When the children of Israel knew tonight at midnight, I'm coming, they were all ready. But what if the command had been, you don't know when I'm coming, but I want you to keep a fresh supply of blood on your doorpost. Yes. I will come some night. And 2 weeks pass, a month passes. 6 months passes. You know, somehow time can be our enemy. If I knew that I'm going to die tomorrow night, I would really get serious about it. Yes. They were able to all be ready because they knew the time. We don't know the time, and yet we're commanded to still be ready. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, he had given to the children of Israel clear instructions. There was no question about what was needed to be done. He told them, here's what you do. They did it and were saved. You know, in the scripture, we have some real clear instructions of what the Lord is expecting from me to where I can be ready at that time. Some of those are, be holy, for I am holy. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know what? It's going to take more than me just, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter, but he that doeth the will of the Father, and holiness is involved in that. You know, the command is still, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world's going to pass away, and all the lusts of the world are going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever. I want to be ready. Amen. Keep that blood fresh every day. You know what I need to remember? Because it's so easy for me to fall into a form. I know what I'm supposed to do and not do, and that should get me to heaven. Yes. You know what? I need to have the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of my heart and realize this is what he's going to be looking for when I'm called out on the judgment day, that the blood of Christ is there. All of the works that I do, I want them to be a result of his blood being applied to my heart. So there was another verse on down in the 45th verse. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? See, this faithful servant doesn't know when he's coming back either. But here's what it says in the 46th verse. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Just, I know what my Lord wants me to do, and so I just continue doing it day after day. If he doesn't come today, that's okay. I know what he wants me to do, so I continue doing it. And then he comes back and finds him so doing. I've had times when we were children, Irma and Ron will probably both remember it, living there in Hammond, and Mom and Dad would say, we're leaving now for a while. You've got these things that you need to have completed when I get back. Well, you know what? We know about how long they're going to be gone and who wants to get the job done first. We got some other things that we want to do. And I can remember sometimes you would hear the gravel in the driveway. They're driving up and now there's a mad dash, everybody running, and we got to be stopped when they open the door. We've got to try to catch it up. You know what? That's just the natural tendency. I put it off until I plan. You know, none of us at the time they drove out said, don't worry about it. We're not doing it. We don't care what they think. No, none of us were that way because we knew what was going to happen. We had plans of doing it, but it was just not right now. We'll take care of it a little later. Well, here's where we are, folks. We don't know when he's coming. There's some things that can come in my life, and I know I need to take care of this thing. I want to always remember, I don't know when that time is coming that my number will be called. Because this one that Sister Maxine has been talking about was the end of all things. It's Judgment Day. It's 2 Peter 3. And 2 Peter 3 also reminds us, seeing then that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Yes. Just knowing that the end is coming in that way, how careful should I be living? But 2,000 years has passed, and people have been telling us all along the end is coming. Peter put it in there maybe 2,000-something years ago, and it hasn't happened yet. And yet, the clock is ticking for me. This year, we have been reminded that it's not even safe for a young person to feel like I've got years out ahead of me, because in an instant, the number can be called up. And it's made me realize how, if God would allow me to have an affliction before I die, and it extends for a while, it would be His mercy. His mercy to, even if I'm saved and sanctified, I'm ready to go, it would be His mercy to allow that to where I search. I do diligent search. Lord, is there anything, any other adjustments? Because when we look at it this way, when Kaylea stopped on the side of the road, she could not imagine the countdown that was going on. There is 10 seconds. There's 9 seconds. Soon to be hurled out into eternity. Folks, we could put her name on it, but we could turn it around and put any of our names on it. What if? What if I had the countdown is coming on and I do not know what it is? You know, the changes, the carefulness I would want to carry in my life, should it be possible that I have 10 seconds left before I go out of here? Because we sing that song, Just As I Am. And we sing that song for the unsaved to think, just like I am, Lord, I'm coming to you and I want some changes made in my life. But you know what? If the Lord calls me out of here instantly, I'm going to go stand before Him just as I am. Without that opportunity that song 358 was giving me all through my life to make any adjustments. It just tells me the seriousness of it. And it reminds me that here's what I'd like to have, Lord. Blessed is that servant in the 46th verse, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know what? I would love it if he came on a Sunday night and we happen to be here in service. Because you know what? This service is part of the so doing category. I don't know when he's coming. It's not that I miss service, and if I thought he might be coming next week, I'd start going to service. No, it's about I take the value of being in service. It's part of the so-doing category. But it goes on down here of what can happen if it seems like it's going to be a while. The 48th verse, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, he did some things. He smote his fellow servants, ate and drank with the drunken. But what if my name could be put in there? What if I would say in my heart, my Lord delayeth his coming? And would there be anything that I would do that I would not do if I knew he was coming on that day? You know, I was thinking about things just as simple as that, the verses in Luke 12, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know, he had no idea that his soul was about to be called out into eternity. He was just making plans, and there was nothing sinful about what he was doing. It's just that what he was doing, he was not thinking about his soul with that. He did bring his soul into it. He said, you got much goods laid up for many years. you're well taken care of. He was not remembering he could be called out of here at any time. And then the Lord tells him, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And it started out that parable, that story there, to tell us, beware of covetousness. When I forget about eternity, I can start looking around me at what other people have and wishing I could obtain them. You remember that story? That verse came because there was a man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I want you to talk to my brother that he'd divide up the inheritance with me. And the Lord told him that, beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. There's something else that's more important. So when I look at that, Lord, I want to keep everything in balance. I want to live as if this were my last day. You know, we don't have to live in fear every day. I do need to have a fear of the Lord on my heart of what it's going to be for me to stand before Him. But I want to be ready. You remember when we call him the rich young ruler, came to Jesus, he said, I want to go to heaven. What good thing do I need to do that I can inherit eternal life? I want to go. And when Jesus told him, he said he went away sorrowful because he had great riches and we don't hear another thing about him. And I wonder what happened to him. He probably did not realize, did not think, you know what, I could go out into eternity on my way home after talking to Jesus. And then it won't matter that I have great riches anyhow, I need to prepare. But it's almost like he thought, it's way on out ahead. I believe everything will be all right. I want to walk with a carefulness. And then I want to tell you a little story. I knew a man that came to the Lord with this question that the rich man had. What must I do to be saved? We all know him. And you know what Jesus said to some? Go and sin no more. And the Lord saved this man and headed him out on his way to heaven. And when he got saved, he gave up everything. Things that I would probably not have given up. He would not go back to the temporal possessions, the place that he lived, the things that he owned, he would not go back to live there again. He made choices in his life. He would not go back, and he would tell you why he's not going back. He said, there's an environment back there. There are friends that I had back there that run me the risk of me losing my soul. Should I go back and start running with them? And he stayed away from that place. Anything that would cause him not to be in the so-doing category when Jesus called for him. He was not an old man, so he could have maybe expected to have many years out ahead of him. But he would not put at spiritual risk. He was watching for those influences that would put him at risk, and he stayed away from those. Just in case that some of those things would cause him to move from the wise virgin category to the foolish category. This story is not in the Bible. It happened not too long ago. You know, the Bible talks to us about there's a cloud of witnesses that I need to take a look at and I need to profit from. I want to profit from this witness in my cloud. He did not know the night that he was to go out into eternity, but he had a song that he was working with. How important. You know, we're talking about thoughts. There's going to be a book of remembrance about the things we're thinking about. You know, we've had old preachers used to tell us, be real careful of the songs you listen to. There were old preachers that told us, be careful about the books that you read. They produce thoughts. And you know, they would even go so careful about, this is why we teach against television, because it produces thoughts. Yes. If you knew that you were to be called out into eternity tonight, what song would you like to be listening to when you were called out? Yes. Boy, there are some wicked songs in the world today, and they're called country. There are songs that I would not want to meet the Lord doing what those things are saying. And I want to be real careful, because I even have to, when I go into the store, I have got to try to blot out. You know, some people say, we go in the store and we don't even hear what it's saying. Well, it must be that the devil's trying to work on me, because I hear the words of it and I have to say, Lord, I am thankful. I have no desire to go that way. So as I heard what song he was listening to, what song he was working with, it made me think, Lord, if I want to be prepared on the time that you call for me, then I want to be real careful about what songs I'm allowing to go on in my head. Because what if you called me out while I'm entertaining that one? Here was his song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And he had no idea that he would be leaving out that night. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Brother David Gaines. You know what? When he got saved and he moved up to Guthrie, living over there in that little office of the print shop, and he put his heart to, I'm going to make heaven my home. His family had a farm back in Missouri, close to Thayer, that he could have gone back to. He said he used to love to have horses and all. But he said along with that, he had some friends that would come over, and they would do some things that would, should he continue those things, would cause him to miss heaven. And so he cut them loose. As if he were going to live for the next 40 years, and I will not allow myself to go in that direction. Because he saw the value of protecting what he had, not knowing when he would be called out. And you know, really, that's not even said to lift him up. Because you know what? He's just a person just like us. He had choices that he made. He made the right choices at the right times. He chose. You remember it said Moses, he had an opportunity for a lot of good things to come into his life. He chose to suffer with the people of God. He esteemed this greater than what Egypt had to offer to him. You know, I need to think serious about what I've heard the last few weeks. And I need to esteem it greater than anything else. The message we heard about heaven and what it's going to be like. Young people and all of us, I need to have that thing as a picture in my mind of what it's going to be to make it. And then should anything come that would possibly interfere with that, I compare it to this and I say there's no way. Because you know what the devil would like to do is to cause us to forget this picture and only see this. And the only reason we would go back into sin is I've lost the sight of eternity. Of what it's going to be, should I go back into sin and be called out into eternity? The closest picture we have about what eternity gives, the Lord does not give us a whole lot about it. It's going to take faith to believe. He did give us one picture, the rich man and Lazarus. And he did not even clearly tell us, if you do this thing, you're going to be in the category of the rich man and be in hell. It's almost like he left it open to say, you know what, there's a lot of things that can cause you to be lost. He just allowed other things to become more important to him, to where he was not ready when he was called out into eternity. So for us tonight, there's some things for me to keep in mind. I'd like to look at a verse in Luke 8. Because I think of the sower and the seed, the word's going out, and there's a lot of things that can hinder it. In Luke, the 8th chapter, 8 and 14, says, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth, and they're choked. You know, we're living in a time where I can get choked with cares. I can get choked with cares and riches. You know, there's a verse that even says, I never made it. It was just they that would be rich. They that had a desire and made that their goal to seek after. This one says, they got choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know, there are a lot of folks choked with pleasures of this life. What am I going to do when I get off next Friday night till Monday morning? Just pleasures. And they bring no fruit to perfection. And then I look at kind of the same thing in Mark, the fourth chapter. Mark 4 and 19. And it says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Can that affect me? Deceitful in the feeling like if I've got them, everything's going to be okay. That was the problem for the farmer. There was nothing wrong with him bringing in a big crop and getting a larger building to put it into. But his riches were deceiving him because he said, you have much riches. You got much laid up for many years now. Eat, drink, and be merry. The deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And there's one more back in Luke 21 that talks to us again about cares. 21 and 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. You know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of things can overcharge me. It can be, you can about name it. And you know what? For us, they can be legal things that I take to excess. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. I don't want that day to slip up on me. Not after having heard about it for the last few weeks. It's coming. We don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. I am going to stand before the Lord. There's some other snares that I was thinking about for just a few minutes. In Matthew, and I don't want this to be what snares me. Matthew, the sixth chapter. If we looked at what we have heard for the last few weeks, that there's a day coming when this thing's going to close up and I'm going to stand before the Lord, then how does this verse compare? 14th verse of 6th chapter of Matthew. If you forgive men their trespasses, yes, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So now I look at this verse, and Brother Tommy last Sunday afternoon gave us a little piece of something that I need to put in a lot of my thoughts. In the light of eternity, what should I do here? In the light of eternity, how bad can somebody treat me that I would not release it, realizing this verse? Dan, if you don't forgive them and you get called out into eternity, it could be what keeps me from making heaven my home. So with that, I want to start measuring in the light of eternity. Yes. How important is this? And there is another verse that I feel like is very important for the time we're living in. It's in Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How important it would be. And I've thought about this before. There are a lot of places that are closing down service for Sunday night because there just not seems to be not enough people that want to come out, or Wednesday night. I thought about this. Where would I want to be when the Lord comes back if it was on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night? It won't make me make heaven, but it will be part of the so doing category, should he come. You know what, if he were to come back next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, oh, I'd love it to be in service somewhere. Expecting his return sometime. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Be therefore ready, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Maybe none of us will be here when the end of all things comes. Let's say if tonight, if the Lord came back to us and assured us, it will be 200 years before I come back and bring this into judgment. Would you feel any different? Would it change how you felt? Because you don't have a promise of 5 minutes. And somehow it brings me some kind of assurance that the end of all things has not come yet. I remember Brother Salmon's talking about it in the 70s. I feel like it's very close. Yeah. Folks, let's don't take any assurance that, okay, we've been hearing this thing all our life. That's really what 2 Peter said. There's going to be some scoffers say, we've heard it. All our life we've heard it, and it's never happened. Remember, while we're waiting for this day we've been hearing about the last few weeks, my day is stepping closer and closer. And you know, when my day comes, it will be the end of all things for me. The world will have come to a crashing end for me, and I stand before God. I want to be ready, and I don't want to just do it out of fear. But what I want to do is have a love for the Lord to where there's a relationship to where, Lord, I talked to you yesterday. You showed me things, and I moved up on those, and now you call me out into eternity. I believe that's how John was able to say when Jesus said at the end of Revelations, I'm coming quickly. And John quickly returned an answer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because I've been in the so doing category, and I'm ready to meet you. Not with an assurance of our own, but by walking with the Lord. I desire your prayers.